Is human food alien food to aliens? We've all had Diet Coke. Why can't we drink diet water? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! Hey!
Yo.
Welcome everyone to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week we investigate a brand new paranormal case and come to a conclusion as to whether or not it truly is paranormal or not. You guys have the questions, we have the answers. My name is Roy Powers. My co-investigator sitting beside me right now is Kit Greer. Are you ready to dive into the world of the paranormal, Kit?
I'm shaking in my boots and I haven't even heard what we're covering today.
Diving into the world of the paranormal is like teaching a kid to swim. You gotta go to the deep end of the paranormal. You gotta push them in. Sometimes it's easier if you really want to teach them a lesson, you gotta handcuff them.
Right.
Or clobber him over the head beforehand.
Rip the float out of his hands before pushing him in.
Yeah, when he's not looking, use a little penknife to pop his rubber ring.
And then distract the lifeguard so that no one's coming to help him. Because that's a crutch. To think that someone's going to help you.
Hey, you're not getting any help in the paranormal pool, all right? Slip the lifeguard a 20 to take an early lunch break. While you teach your kid about Bigfoot.
Hey, bud, here's £5. Go get yourself a falafel while I try to kill a child.
You get arrested immediately. Oh, come on. You're supposed to be guarding my life, sir. Not ruining it. All the kids in the pool are beating you up while he's handcuffed you on the floor.
With those big, like...
Pool noodles.
Pool noodles.
Today we have an incredible case, one that's been emailed in a number of times over the years, and I think it's about time that we finally got to it.
We're finally talking about euthanasia. You asked,
No, we're talking about it.
The complicated, controversial end of life.
Certainly
service.
Not paranormal, for sure.
It's a little paranormal. It's about the afterlife, isn't it?
Actually, yeah, you got me banged to rights there. No, unfortunately not. That is a bonus episode. this week, we're going to be talking about a creature. A myth, a legend. Without any further delays, let's dive into our story. The story today starts in the small town of Window Rock, Arizona, home of the Navajo Nation Reservation. It's a dark, overcast night out in the remote desert, and Reddit user Neptune420 and his dad JJ are out in their truck making a delivery to the town of Gallup, New Mexico. It's a monotonous journey down a dead straight highway, and the pitch dark night was filled only by the sound of rumbling tires on the road. Behind them is their friend Travis and his girlfriend, following along to visit some friends. The two trucks begin to crawl up a steep hill, trying to maintain control on the damp ground. When they reach the top and begin heading back down, JJ can just about make out a shape further down the road. It looks like an animal, maybe a wolf or something, crouched down in the middle of the highway. Without taking his eyes off the creature, JJ reaches down and picks up his radio to check in with Travis in the other car.
Hey, Trav, do you see that big-ass dog?
A moment of silence passes, and then...
That's not a dog. Speed up right now! Speed up and hit it! Hit it, JJ! You have to hit it, please! Hit that thing right now!
In sheer panic, JJ floors it and the truck starts barreling down the hill.
I like this attitude. No questions asked.
Exactly.
Hit it with your truck.
The cars are hurtling towards the creature, and as their headlights illuminate the dark silhouette, the men freeze in terror. The creature in front of them isn't a human or an animal. It's a bone-chilling blend of the two. Its facial features were contorted as if the creature was in extreme pain, and it was covered head to toe in matted, blood-stained fur.
Whoa.
They're now inches away from smashing into the monster, and JJ's foot is still firmly on the pedal. Suddenly, it lets out a blood-curdling scream that sounds like someone crying out as their lungs fill with water.
Jesus, man, this is so descriptive.
It's pretty descriptive, isn't it? For Neptune 420.
Yeah.
Amateur novelist. It suddenly springs backwards and leaps towards the fields, clearing a barbed wire fence and disappearing into the blackness.
Whoa! So that's a pretty big jump then.
Oh, huge, yeah!
Clearing a barbed wire fence?
From the road, absolutely, yeah. That's like Robin Williams when he's got the flubber on his shoes in the NBA game. He can't stop himself, he's going zero gravity.
Holy moly.
Still traveling near top speed, Travis's voice bursts through JJ's radio.
Holy shit! Keep driving! We got
over and over again. He screams the same words.
We have to get out of here! We gotta go faster!
I feel like I am JJ.
Yeah, this is, you've been blindsided.
I'm blindsided. Blinded by the light, blinded by the fright.
And blinded by the night.
What? Because I haven't been eating carrots. I can't see shit. I mean, what would you do in that situation?
Yeah.
Split second decision, someone says, run over that thing. What do you do?
It's very easy for the person who's not in the front to say, hit the beast.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a horse in that race.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you call back to me and you're like, hey, I Rory, I'm up here. I think I see something in the road. I'm just going to be back there, sunglasses on, feet up on the dashboard, being like, hit the thing. I don't give a rat's ass.
Hit it. Put your foot down. Hit it.
Go for it.
Why are you so insistent yet chill?
But the passion that and the fear that comes through in that call, it almost seems like they know what's up there.
It seems like it. I mean, by the way, hitting something, I don't know what kind of vehicle they were in, but hitting something at that speed is not a decision to be taken lightly. Like,
yeah.
You could easily total your vehicle, be stuck in the desert, which is a pretty dangerous place to be, not even considering the injuries you would sustain hitting something like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've hit a bug once, driving quite fast, and I almost swerved off the road. It was
that was your driving test as well, so they didn't appreciate that.
I may have been swerving prior to the bug, sure. And the bug just came along. yeah, my driving instructor just like, hit it! Hit that butterfly!
Are you seeing this, Rory? You're like, is this a test?
I'm starting to think I parked on the side and a random man got in my car. I don't think you're the driving instructor. I am. Now let's go by the 7-Eleven. I need to get some Bud Light. Yeah, that's tough. That's really tough. I don't think there's almost zero. You know what? I'm going to go as far to say there are no situations in life where accelerating when there's an object in the road is the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think like even road safety etiquette would say, all right, if you see a cat in the middle of the road, don't stop. If you emergency stop, you're going to endanger people behind you. If you swerve, you're going to endanger yourself and people in your car. But they don't say speed up. You got to make sure you hit it. You don't want to let that little bastard get away.
It's more kind to make sure it is obliterated off the face of the earth than just has a broken leg. Yeah, it's a difficult situation to be in for sure.
Coming back to your point, it does sound as if Travis had some experience. He thought there was a reason we need to hit this lest it get away.
Exactly. Well, the trucks continued to punch the gas, creating as much distance between them and whatever they saw. They quickly began to approach their destination in New Mexico, but before they arrive, flashing lights appeared behind them. The men reluctantly pull over and a police officer taps on the driver's window.
His face contorted in pain. The beast went GTA, stole a cop car.
The cop spoke.
Little fast there, gentlemen.
JJ replied.
I'm sorry, officer. We were trying to get away from something we just can't explain.
JJ starts to describe what they've just seen. The horrible, blood-covered half-man, half-beast. The cop turns pale. He starts backing away towards his car, looking shaken.
I'll let you off with a warning this time. Just go safe, okay?
But officer, what about the...
I said f*** off! Get the hell out of here!
Wow, what a reaction.
I know, right?
Holy.
That's not exactly what you want to hear from... I will say I did take some creative liberties with the f*** off. Get the hell out of here.
Okay.
But it was definitely implied in the story.
It's not the courtesy and respect that we expect from the boys in blue.
Exactly. Every other part of this story is factually correct. Once he was told about the creature, the officer allegedly turned pale, returned to his car, drove away immediately without any more questions. He doesn't want any part of this.
That's bad.
That's not...
when you just opened up to the authorities about...
when the police officer doesn't want any part of crime... That's a bad idea. That's a problem.
But it means you've got no one to turn to when stuff goes wrong. What if that thing turns up again? Your car won't start. It's like the horror movies. You're dialing 999 and they're just like, let it ring. That guy's done for.
Yeah, at the very least, you'd start I don't know, you'd start doing weird illegal shit just to get a ride to the station with the cop.
Yeah.
You'd be like, you know, you could say like, hey, I saw this half man, half beast. Can you please help me get back into the city? And he's like, I don't want any part of that. You're like, oh my God. Right, well, I guess I'm going to smoke a bowl of crack right here now in front of you.
No, well,
like,
don't do that.
Oh, all right, get in the car then, fine, sure.
Yeah, you're like the mobster that wants to get put back into prison because he's safer there.
Yeah, exactly, because he's got so many skinwalker enemies on the outside. Now, I know from the descriptions, it sounds like we're talking about one of our classic hybrid cryptids. The donkey lady, the lizard man, a creature that is half human, half animal. But today, that's not the case. We're talking about something even more terrifying. A creature known as a skinwalker.
Interesting. I feel that many people in the commune out in the listenership will have heard that name, but like me, maybe don't know exactly what that is.
I mean, as we all know, we did touch on this subject briefly on our investigation into Skinwalker Ranch.
Right.
Even though we said the word Skinwalker upward of 30 times, it wasn't really about the Skinwalkers.
That was almost like a local name.
Exactly, yeah. In our defense, there was a lot of other shit going on that ranch.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure aliens killed a dog at one point.
Might have killed the skinwalkers.
Yeah.
So that we didn't see any.
I think we're fine leaving the skinwalkers for another day, which is today. So what exactly are skinwalkers? It's a good question that has a few different answers. They've been described in Western culture as a sort of Native American boogeyman.
Okay.
Evil witches with shape-shifting powers. The Native American for these monsters is Yinarld Lushi, which loosely translates to the one that walks on all fours.
Interesting.
They're shapeshifters who can possess the bodies of animals, most often appearing as coyotes or other wild dogs, but have sometimes even been known to possess the body of humans.
Wow.
Creepy shit.
That is very creepy. Also interesting that they just get the name that literally means the one who walks on all fours. Quite a lot of things walk on all fours. So for this to be the most important one, the one that gets the .com address.
Exactly, yeah.
That's pretty significant.
Puppies are the ones that walk on all fours.
To me.
Alligators are the ones that walk on all fours. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of creatures that walk on all fours. I guess maybe this is in terms of the one, referring to the one in the human race that walks on all fours.
Oh, so that's where they're coming from. Okay.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking. Why haven't we heard more about these skinwalkers? Well, there's a pretty good reason. Because like Fight Club, the only rule of Skinwalker Club is shut the fuck up about Skinwalker Club.
Hmm.
Native Americans don't like to talk about them at all. Not with each other or outsiders. And they definitely don't like writing about them on the internet to help paranormal investigators.
And that's where Neptune 420 comes in. He doesn't give a fuck about Native American tradition.
He's the Edward Snowden of the Native American community. A whistleblower who's giving it all out for free.
These guys are staying quiet about some pretty bad things.
Like, I do understand if this is an important part of your culture that you would, you know, like to respectfully keep to yourselves. But if there is a half man, half coyote in the desert, I'd like to know about it. I'd like to know if I should speed up, because I would slow down and see if he needs help.
So that actually makes a lot more sense. They don't like to talk about it. They call it the one that's on all fours.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Voldemort type situation.
100%,
they don't want to speak its name.
Don't say its name. It's who shall not be named.
Gotcha.
But there's also another good reason that First Nations people are afraid to talk about skinwalkers. Not only is it considered straight up bad luck to just speak their name, but many also believe that talking about skinwalkers can summon one.
Right. That makes a lot more sense.
It's like Facebook ads. You know?
It's listening at all times.
At all times. It's like once in your daily life, you mention the word Ray-Bans. Like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting a pair of Ray-Bans. You go online, Ray-Bans ad. Facebook, Ray-Bans ad. Instagram, Ray-Bans, Ray-Bans. Hey, yeah. Do you want some Ray-Bans? They're the online version of skinwalkers. You mention it, they're there following you website to website.
So true.
That's why white people don't talk about Ray-Bans. It's in our culture. We keep it secret. We're too afraid.
They're already too powerful. We don't want anyone else to buy them.
But the important point to make today is that just because these creatures are not talked about does not mean that they're not seen. Another story follows a woman named Aisha Ninja, who claimed that one night her family were stalked.
Did you say they're called Aisha Ninja?
I think it's Aisha Ninja.
Okay.
Aisha Ninja.
Sounds like Sean Connery saying Ice Ninja.
Aisha Ninja. The story comes from someone called Ice Ninja. Claims he has a shuriken colder than the frosted desert.
This is like if he was in a really bad B movie. This is no normal ninja. It's an Ice Ninja. What the f*** am I doing with this script? I'm better than this. I was James Bond, you know. Fucking Ice Ninja.
Ice Ninja starring Sean Connery. Someone has to make a promotional poster for that. I can't promise that this next story will be as captivating as the plot of Sean Connery's Ice Ninja, but it's a good story nonetheless, so let's hear it out. Aisha Ninja and her family lived in a rural community on the Navajo Reservation. One night, when her family were home alone, they began to hear noises from outside, as if someone was digging through their garbage. Her oldest uncle decided to peek outside. Maybe it was a raccoon or a bear. He looked out the front window and saw a figure out by their truck. Whatever it was, it had opened the doors and was digging through the items inside. This was particularly strange because their closest neighbor was miles away.
Wow.
So reluctantly, her uncle grabbed the family rifle, burst out the front door, cocked it.
Doesn't sound reluctant at all. I think he was ready to go.
Well, he's sure. It's an exciting moment in his life, but he doesn't want to.
You heard a can fall over outside? All right, if I have to.
He's gone up in the attic to get the family rifle.
You guys seen my grenades? I don't think you'll need them.
I think he's trying to appear as intimidating as possible.
Okay.
So he never even has to fire the gun. So he's probably got Ray-Bans on. There, I said it. Kicking open that front door. Two Uzis in hand.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to fire a bullet. He just wants to scare it off.
Okay.
The figure stopped and stared at the man, seemingly unfazed by the weapon. And then it slowly began walking towards him. Stay back! Don't make me use this! The uncle fired a warning shot, but nothing happened. As the dark figure drew closer, the family began to smell something like a rotting corpse.
Holy, that's definitely what these things smell like.
Oh yeah, 100%. At that moment, Aisha Ninja's grandparents returned in their truck. The sound of the car and the flash of the headlights must have startled the creature as it slowly moved away, hiding behind a tree near the house.
I see why we had to speed up. It's not scared of guns, but it's scared of cars.
Yeah, and flashing lights. Once her grandfather was told about what happened, he ran into the house, grabbed a handful of ashes, rubbed them over the gun, and placed an ash-covered bullet into the chamber. He walked outside onto the porch and fired towards the tree. The gunshot echoed in the dark, and the figure took off running. But the men didn't stop there. They jumped into their truck and chased after the creature, driving through the rough terrain. The truck was bouncing, so the headlights weren't fixed on one particular spot. But the uncle swears that when the headlights hit the figure, he saw a woman running on all fours like a bear.
Jesus.
Something about it being a human makes this 10 times scarier.
Yeah.
In my head.
Absolutely.
I mean, if it was, you know, some kind of weird wolf, if it had even been the lizard man.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just so disconnected from reality that it's kind of hard to imagine. But yeah, if these headlights bouncing up and down briefly catch a glimpse of this like contorted...
Yeah.
Woman running on all fours. Oh, it just sends chills down my spine. Something so scary about that.
It's dreadful. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason for sure. You know, you think of the most terrifying moments in movie history. You think of like The Shining or something. You know, it is. It's the woman in the bathtub. It's the little girls. Yeah. There's something about it.
It kind of feels like popular anime Attack on Titan.
Okay.
You know, that show is all about these huge creatures basically destroying a city like Godzilla.
Sure.
That's not that terrifying a concept. But the fact that these titans are just big humans, not like giants, but these weird contorted big humanoid creatures. Makes it 1,000 more times terrifying than if they were a big, tall lizard man like Godzilla.
Yeah.
Something so human about it that makes it even weirder and creepier.
Yeah, I think people have talked about these kind of things in science. You know, humans have this built-in kind of disgust mechanism where if something looks a bit off, we feel scared.
Right.
And this is part of the reason why games designers and AI people have such a hard time making models of humans for movies and games that are realistic enough for us to like looking at them. Because most of the time, when we look at models of humans, we just go, oh, this is kind of creepy. I don't really want to look at this.
Yeah, like cold, soulless CGI eyes.
The uncanny valley.
Yeah, really off-putting. It is very interesting. That's why this story is so cool, because we're not dealing with, you know, a half lady, half donkey. We're dealing with this weird shape-shifting creature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her grandfather eventually stopped the truck. He got out and began yelling into the darkness. Her uncle said that he was yelling about a local woman, that he wasn't scared, and that he knew it was her, and to leave his family alone. A few days passed, and there was news that the woman her grandfather was yelling about had passed away.
Oh.
Interesting stuff here.
So is this insinuating that there was maybe a possession?
Possibly. This woman who passed away had her likeliness or body stolen by a skinwalker.
Interesting.
The two can somehow be related, which is very, that's spooky.
That's awful. To think that the skinwalker, a bit like a vulture circling overhead, it can sense when you're near the end and it just ganks your body.
Yeah, that's not cool, all right? If you wanna kill me, go ahead. Whatever, right. Fine. Once it's done, don't take my face.
Yeah.
Don't take my face and go rummaging around in other people's cars. That's weird, man. Let me at least lie there, just dead.
Yeah, I've built a reputation over the years that I intend to keep after I pass away.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't tarnish.
Don't
my
start
last days.
Jacking off in the town square straight after I die.
Although in hindsight, that is a pretty good excuse if you ever get called out for doing something inappropriate. It's like, what are you talking about? Although now that you mention it, I did see a coyote in East London 2 nights ago. Wait, you don't think? And they're like, no, we don't think. You've logged the whole thing on your Snapchat. I don't think the skinwalker would do that. You took a shit on a cop car while saying, it's me, Rory Powers.
I don't think skinwalkers go live on Periscope and say, subscribe up top, comment down below.
Why does he care how many subscribers you have? So after these stories, we do kind of know what these things are, but how did they get here? Well, the Navajo people believed that skinwalkers were once accomplished shaman or medicine men in their communities. These shaman would use their powers for the good of the community and were brought in to do everything from healing the sick to sometimes even raising the dead.
Wow, that is good.
That's a tough job to not know what you're dealing with every day.
Yeah.
You know, are you coming in being like, all right, what is it today? Someone got like a scratched knee or like a bum elbow or something I gotta fix. And it's like, no, Tony croaked last night. So we need you to actually bring him back.
Oh, f***ing hell. I haven't even had a coffee. Can someone get me a latte? I'm gonna bring Tony back. I'm gonna need a latte.
Gonna need a latte. We're gonna need some defibrillators. Like, is that even magic now, or is this science?
I'm the shaman. Shut up.
Sometimes when performing their rituals, they would wear an animal skin over their face. It could be a bear, a wolf, or something similar. Not only that, but the suit was adorned with the skins of frogs, bats, snakes.
Whoa.
With beaks, toes, tails of birds, hooves of deer.
Holy.
Tails of goats. Pretty much everything that flies, swims, or runs was attached on to these skins.
Jesus, it's kind of mystery meat.
I don't know if I would want that. If someone was performing evasive surgery on me,
yeah,
to have to constantly be pushing the the frog skin out of their eyes.
Is this hygienic?
Yeah. I think a beetle just fell in my wound, sir. I don't appreciate this. Also, why am I still conscious? Why am I still conscious? I can see my bones. Interestingly, shamans were paid for their work resurrecting the dead, whether the ritual worked or not, which is a pretty good deal to have payment up front.
Yeah, that makes sense. If I was, I don't know, a guy who deactivates bombs. I would want payment up front. It's pretty risky business if yeah. you're dealing with the afterlife and magic.
right.
It's yeah. like, yeah, I'm risking my neck here. I don't need to like not make money on account of risking my neck.
The chief is like, you know, bombs aren't magic, right? I need you to tell me that before you go in there with your what looks like a bag of frogs.
It's like, so Jason, you've got the plan, right? I go in there, go into the shadow realm. No. Here's the plan with the wires. You just need to snip the red wire. Right.
Okay, so snip the red wire.
The red wire. It's as easy all right. as that.
This is perfect, man. I sharpened my eagle beak this morning.
Why
so
would
it's
you
gonna
be
ready.
No. We've given you all the tools you could possibly need. Where's the eagle beak coming in?
To cut the wires.
No.
Bro, their beaks are like razor.
Scissors.
Fine.
We've got regulation scissors for this.
All right, fine. So then I use the scissors to cut the beak off the bird.
No.
To cut the wires.
This should be... These are words that shouldn't be in your vocabulary as a... You're a bomb expert.
Right.
Listen, we were worried whenever you went to Peru on holiday the last couple of weeks. I guess
for training, right? That was...
You
sent me out there to learn the ways of the spells.
We were hoping that you would just have a nice relaxing beach holiday. Seems like you... Spent a bit of time with a shaman.
Well, yeah, of course I wanted to perfect my trade. Turns out to perfect the trade, you have to perfect the dark arts.
Okay.
Because what's more dark than making a bomb?
There is 30 seconds on the clock.
Oh,
get in
shit.
There with the eagle beak and do whatever you can.
Immediately trips over his wolf pelt, face plants, knocks out, bomb goes off. The irony is the bomb goes off and a magic shield forms around him. Everyone else dies. We did it, Officer Jenkins. He's like a skeleton crumbling behind him. Oh no, you've been cursed.
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. And every week I bring to you three podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, when we bottle up our emotions, it can start to affect us negatively. Sometimes it's important that we get stuff off our chest.
Tell me about it. I found a UFO in the forest, and now this thing is attached to my chest.
Jesus, that's an alien. Mm-hmm. All right, I was speaking metaphorically about dealing with emotions and talking about our feelings by using services like BetterHelp.
I don't need to talk about my feelings. This thing can read my mind.
Therapy can be a great way to set boundaries and become the best version of yourself. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You're saying they can get things off my chest, like Zonktar here?
Don't give it a name.
Maybe me and Zonktar can sign up for BetterHelp together.
Give it a shot, and whatever it is, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife. I have an illustration here of what the kind of classic look was for the time.
Okay. I'd love to see that.
Here you go. He's a little picture.
Whoa! Wow. This is really something else. This is kind of like a ancient ghillie suit. You know the way those military type people, they would wear, you know, kind of a suit that's covered in, you know, moss and grass and swamp stuff.
Right.
To blend in with their atmosphere. This is kind of the same, but made of animals.
If you were blending in to the cast of the Lion King, possibly...
Yeah, it's very ornate. It's kind of beautiful, kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that's a really good description.
Wow, that's something.
Now, I feel like we've been bigging these guys up. You know, pillars of society, incredible medics, let alone magicians. How did they become skinwalkers? Well, this is what happens when a good shaman goes bad. And I don't mean in a sexy way, like shamans gone wild. The legend says that a medicine man can execute a series of rites to become a skinwalker. One such ritual is performing a grisly taboo, an act of evil, such as killing a loved one.
Wow.
Once the transformation is complete, the newly created skinwalker is usually chased off the reservation by the community it once vowed to serve. It now lives in banishment for the rest of its existence, fending for itself in the wilderness. But how can this happen? How can pillars of the community volunteer to transform into bloodthirsty beasts? Well, you see, in order to complete this process of becoming a fully qualified shaman, you have to study evil in depth. And some don't have the strength to resist the dark forces they encounter, and they're compelled to serve them.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. So kind of like if the Jedi's had to do a semester on the dark side of the Force.
Exactly. This is so similar to them teaching Defense Against the Dark Arts at Hogwarts.
Gotcha.
And I'm pretty sure that course is just teaching the children the dark arts so they know how to defend against them.
Yeah.
Which is a bad idea.
I think it was like first year of Hogwarts, they teach them how to kill someone.
Right, yeah. Like, kids, but don't ever use this shit, all right? Yeah, I know it's like the dopest spells you're going to learn all semester. This one turns blood to Gatorade. Your enemies will drop in a second, but never use this.
Anyway, here's your wand, and yes, here's a dictionary list of, if you just say the word while holding the wand, it's over for everyone.
Just saying any of these words aloud will turn this whole room into dust.
That one just commits a war crime, just in an unspecified part of the world. You won't find out until it hits the news.
Yeah, this is, I guess, a similar thing where it's like, maybe these medicine men were like, I want to like dip into it a little bit, so I know what to avoid in the future. Turns out the dark arts are pretty sexy. Pretty sexy and they're pretty powerful. And you just get sucked into it.
Yeah, because, you know, shaman that end up studying the dark arts for a while before they're fully fledged skinwalkers, they're wearing leather jackets, driving Harley Davidsons, and listening to AC/DC.
They were on
it's
the edge.
It's fun for a while.
Yeah. I like to think of the dark arts as a sleeve of double stuffed Oreos. Sometimes you want to just have a little sugar kick and be like, hey, let me see what I'm missing here. Let me see what all the fuss is about. I'll have one of these, get it out of my system so I don't even think about the Oreos anymore.
You have one and you're like, damn, this is good.
It's actually pretty delicious. And no one's gonna hate me for having a second. Before you know it, you got a wolf pelt on, frog skin belt, six sleeves deep. All you can think about are Oreos. You're running on all fours in the big Tesco.
You murdered your family, apparently. Don't know when that happened.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous messing with dark arts and Oreos. Other tribes believe that skinwalkers were once helpers of the divine beings, that they trained humans to work on the earth and were expected to abandon the mortal realm once their work was done. However, some stayed behind, and the power that they had been bestowed by the divine beings was corrupted, and they became these malicious demi-divine beings.
Wow.
Lots of cool theories being thrown around.
This is all pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, and these aren't even all of the theories either. There are hundreds of conflicting stories and accounts from first Americans all over the continent of North America. Not only do the origin stories vary, but also the creature's abilities. Some say it has the ability to memorize and read minds. It can paralyze you with fear. We know they're fast and strong and incredibly agile, but some say they can even also mimic human speech, sometimes using the voice of a child to lure in concerned adults.
Oh, that's no good. That's terrifying.
Really, that's about as dark as the arts get.
Yeah.
Using a child's voice to lure someone into the shadows. You're not using that for good.
No, you're not stealing a child's voice.
Unless you're doing some sort of supernatural to catch a predator. There is no need to be using a child's voice to lure anyone into any situation.
I mean, if you're using a child's voice to, say, get access to a kid's menu price,
that's actually pretty good. Yeah, at the
drive-in. I'll give that a pass.
If you're swinging through the McDonald's drive-through,
Ronald isn't going to miss the extra dollars.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But it's a slippery slope.
Have you tried to order a Happy Meal as an adult?
I have not.
You can do it.
Really?
Yeah, they're fine.
There's no age limit.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe, or there either is, or they felt so bad for me that they were like, just give them the meal. Whoa, it's not worth our time.
Why did you do it? Was there a dope toy?
I was craving a tiny burger, sir. So that's why I got it.
People don't know. Americans don't know. That's the only way to get a slider in the UK.
Pretty
is
much.
To get a Happy Meal.
I love the little buns that come with Happy Meals.
Right.
Because they're not, you know, you get the quarter pounder, you get the Big Mac. It's the big buns with the sesame seeds.
Okay.
Whereas the Happy Meal burgers are like, they don't have any sesame seeds, and they're this weird, like, airbrushed, beautiful little bun.
Wow, interesting. Because I haven't had, because I've been veggie for a long time, I never really get McDonald's. So I kind of remember, all my burgers I kind of remember as...
Oh, the smooth bun.
The smooth bun.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, the sesame seeds is good, but yeah, sometimes you just want a little bite of nostalgia, my friends. Disappointingly, the toy I did receive was a tiny book.
Yeah, that's, what the f***? Yeah, kid, I was hoping you were going to say like Beyblade.
No, I wish. Oh my God. 21 Happy Meals and a dual arena. We don't sell the arenas. Silence!
I challenge you to a duel. That's a different franchise.
I just have a stutter.
I don't like Yu-Gi-Oh.
What the f*** is Yu-Gi-Oh?
He's like dressed like Yu-Gi-Oh with the coat and the hair.
Fucking pyramid necklace. Oh, man. They're also almost impossible to kill. Some say your only chance is to pierce its flesh with a blade or a bullet dipped in white ash. Others swear that a silver weapon is the only way to bring down the beast. Either way, your chances are pretty slim. It also usually appears naked, which makes sense, because, you know, where's a skinwalker going to find clothes? But that aspect will definitely just make the encounter a little bit more disturbing.
Yeah, well, can't miss it. I mean, it's probably a good thing, honestly. Like, if they wore sweats and Nikes,
right. They're
going to blend in a lot better.
Even if they're being a little weird and contorted. I've seen people.
Maybe he's body popping. I don't know.
Exactly. Should I be doing that? That seems pretty... There's a TikTok dance, maybe.
But if he's naked... You almost never see naked people in the street, so...
Yeah, that's a red flag, for sure. Makes sense. Now, as I said, we did do a whole investigation on Skinwalker Ranch, and although we didn't focus specifically on any skinwalkers, in the story, Terry Sherman and his wife, Gwen, were hounded by wolves that they claimed were 3 times bigger than any wolf they had seen before.
Mega wolf.
I don't remember specifically, but I think they were also maybe bulletproof and had red eyes. There was a lot of creepy shit going on. But could this possibly have been a skinwalker using its magic to take the form of a mighty wolf, even though it's our only episode to receive a triple no?
That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, this opens up a whole series of questions. I mean, Jesus, of all the paranormal cases we've investigated, we haven't even thought about the cases that have transpired where people just don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the information.
The amount of times we've maybe investigated a cryptid and we're like, no, I don't think this was a cryptid. It could have been an alien. There could be another paranormal story inside of another paranormal story.
Absolutely. Jesus. I mean, at night, simply living here in London, when you hear what I assume is foxes having sex, it could be a skinwalker. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the stories we've been able to share today are from the lucky few who have had the luxury of being in the safety of a vehicle. And we didn't even scratch the surface of witnessed reports. Some have claimed to see coyotes transform into humans right in front of them. Others say they've been driving at night and a man with an insane smile on his face has been running alongside their car going 50 miles per hour, clawing at the doors trying to get in.
Oh, that's bad.
It's scary shit, isn't it?
Now I'm starting to see where Travis was coming from.
Yeah.
Put your foot down, brother.
Hit it. Ultimately, it's a shame that the very people that know the most about skinwalkers won't talk about them. But who knows, maybe it is for our own good that we don't know more about these creatures. Ultimately, we are missing a piece of the puzzle, so it's hard to come down on a solid conclusion. And yet we must, Kit.
Mm-hmm. Or else we'd be... Listen, even if it summons skinwalkers into existence that may kill people... It's also the format of the podcast, so I'm sorry, but we have to do it.
Yeah, if anything, we should say the word more. Skinwalker, skinwalker, skinwalker. It would really help us in the conclusion aspect if one of them was here to guest on the final 5 minutes of the podcast.
I mean, even we might die in that process, but the podcast would probably chart pretty well.
Oh, yeah, it would definitely be front page news.
Yeah.
We've gone through a lot of stories today. We've heard a lot about the lore of these creatures. I know this is a difficult one to talk about because, as we said, the very people that know the most about this creature, for whatever personal reasons, don't want to talk about it much. But what are your thoughts today on the legend of these skinwalkers?
This really feels like a story in two parts, or a cryptid in two parts. It seems like we almost have the physical skinwalker phenomenon, which Travis and JJ and Neptune 420 encountered.
Yes.
The thing that they see in the street, the thing that the policeman was so scared of that they wanted to try and run down in their car, and it leapt away into the distance. The thing that was chased through the woods by the granddad with the rifle.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, we almost have this mythical, almost biblical level parable of a shaman, someone who was respected in the community, who had the fall from grace, who flirted with the dark arts and was transformed into a kind of hungry ghost that's doomed to wander the world forever.
And as you said, there's a huge disconnect, even in just time, between these encounters in the modern day and the time period in which, you know, these shamans and these medicine men would have been operating. There's a huge divide there that makes it quite hard to link together this creature with this origin story.
So you're quite right, Rory. It does leave us in a pickle. If I had to come down on a conclusion today, I think I would have to say, I don't know if this thing can shapeshift. I don't know if it can jump over 20-foot barbed wire fences. And I don't know all the specifics because they're not writing books about this stuff.
Yeah.
But if the First Nations people are saying that a shaman who's been corrupted by the dark arts and is excommunicated by his community is called a skinwalker, I think that means they're a real thing.
That's the this is the dilemma we're going to have to hit. Is today, are we trying to claim that the shape-shifting night beast is real, or is the concept of a skinwalker, these medicine men gone bad, real? Which, as a concept, yeah, it is real. It's who walks on all fours is a real idea, is a real concept, is based in reality.
I don't care, I'm giving it a yes!
Let's go for it! Let's go for it! Oh, I did not see that one coming even when I was pitching it. That's a double yes, folks, and we've said it, which means I don't have to think anymore about it. Today's case, investigating the skinwalkers, is a double yes. It is indeed paranormal. Skinwalkers have once or do now walk the earth. If you see something on the road, even trying to flag you down, even if it looks like a member of your family, keep driving. Pedal to the metal, folks.
This could really go wrong, couldn't it? What have we done?
Wow. Hey, that's broken the drought for the first time in a while, because we were on a no streak.
You know, and maybe we should have seen that coming. It was a big case for a big reason. This is one of the most ancient Western myths of the paranormal, and I think there's something to it.
Well said, well said. Well, I'm happy to have another case go down in this Paranormal Life history books as a...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of This Paranormal Life. Skinwalkers was a big case. We always wanted to get round to it. We're so happy to have it tackled. If there's a case that you think we need to investigate, whether it's one you've seen online or it's a case that's happened to you personally, you need to email that in ASAP to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com and we will check it out. But there's something that you need to check out in the meantime. It's a little ATM that I like to call to This Paranormal Life podcast. But instead of putting in your card and getting the money that you obviously own and deserve, and it's your right to have dispensed out of the ATM, you put in your card and ghosts come out. and they're you know, stealing your wallet, slapping you around a bit, you know, causing chaos.
Right.
That's what happens in this paranormal life Patreon.
Okay, I'm a little worried you're giving it a negative connotation where there isn't necessarily one. Loads of good bonus content over there as well, guys. Loads of stuff that you do get back.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. It's going to be great. So put the card in and let the world of the paranormal rough you up a bit.
Okay, well, it's going to be fun too, though.
You're
going to enjoy
it. Hold
on
to your wallet, keys, and phone, folks.
Share it with your family.
Little ghosty hands are sticky.
Whoa, okay.
You're going to want to check it out over on patreon.com. Look, this is where, if you really like this show, which hopefully you do, it will break my heart if you don't. I don't know why you're here if you don't. If you do really like the show, you want to support it, you want to get a little bit extra. We have a ton of rewards over on patreon.com, including a This Paranormal Life commune uniform and bonus episodes where we dive into the undivable. Look, if you think of the regular episodes as diving into a beautiful, fresh pool of water, this is diving into...
mud.
Mud, exactly, yeah. It is messy. It is rude. It's a...
Is cement rude?
It's edgy. But it's strong. These are strong bonus episodes. I feel like I may be rambling a little bit here. But if you go to the website, this Paranormal Life Patreon... just check it out. There's loads of fun stuff there. Hopefully there's something for everyone. You're gonna love it. If you want to check out some funny video clips from the podcast, hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you are, we are. And every week we upload funny clips in video form from the podcast. So check it out. It's great fun. Once again, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. We will be back next Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale. See you then.
See ya.